he's right here, so. Oh, we talked it. He cold talked it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
So just before we start this episode, I just want to say a big thank you to all of our Patreon listeners and subscribers. If you want to go and do that and support the podcast, you can do that from £1 a week at patreon.com/ the Bogey Boys Golf Podcast. Is that right?
Bogey Boys Pod it is.
Bogey Boys Pod.
There we go. Yeah, and you can also still get your discounts through our discount codes. We've got the Arcos, which is 10% off your first order. Bogey Boys 10 at checkout, and we've also got the Golfers CBD being used now by a lot of tour players, including Phil Mickelson, yep, which we'll heavily be talking about on this podcast after his amazing victory.
I know, exactly.
And you can get that Golfers CBD at checkout for Bogey Boys 15 for 15% off.
And they do balms, sprays, oils, vapes, gummies,
drops, yeah. Drops, there's a whole selection of different things.
There's loads of different ways to take it. So, yeah. And it's quality stuff. We use it ourselves.
Very highly recommended, yeah. Hasn't half helped our golf games. Mainly yours. I don't play as much as you.
Yeah. Helped my first tee nerves there this week.
Definitely. But look, we hope you enjoy today's show. Feedback's welcome as always.
Cheers.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys Podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark as usual. And we've got Matt here from 3D Golf Strong.
So we're joined by Matt Branton from 3D Golf Strong. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
No worries, guys.
Yeah, good to have you on. So we've been working with Matt for some time now, doing a bit of fitness. You'll have seen it on our socials. Matt's a personal trainer. Do you want to tell people a bit about yourself, Matt?
Yeah, so I've been doing like golf fitness stuff with people for probably a few years now. I own a CrossFit gym. That's kind of my background, but specialise in a lot of golf stuff. Got a lot of people that play golf come to my gym and basically look at mechanics and how the body functions in order to get them, in this case, playing better golf or squatting better or running better or whatever kind of mechanics are the same. It's just applying it to whatever that person needs.
Yeah, we're definitely feeling the benefits, aren't we, Kev?
No, definitely. And it was so good watching, like, we done an online assessment with you, didn't we? And straight away, you noticed my injury in my left knee. You noticed that my hip shoulders weren't turning. You noticed that Mark had lots of mobility, but he just struggled with a few other areas. And he gave us like different warm-ups and different routines to go away and work on. And it's like, I can feel my hip turns a million times better than when I first started.
Yeah, and you can literally see it within your swing as well, can't you? So
yeah, no, yeah. Definitely, 1,000,000%. Man.
As soon as you start getting results like that, it feels better, doesn't it? When you can when it becomes a bit tangible.
Yeah,
as soon as you can trust that you're going to get through the ball, it's one less worry, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. You can rely on being in those positions then, and then it's just a skill of actually playing golf, isn't it? When you've got something, when you've got like the tools there to back it up, you can just trust yourself to hit the ball.
Yeah,
no, that's it, definitely. But the main reason that we've got you on today is there was a bit of uproar over Brad Marrick. He was doing some sort of odd, well, what looked odd to Sky Sports and to like the social media world, warm-ups on the range.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's created opinion or whatever you want to call it, it just shows how ridiculous the, whether you want to say fitness industry, movement, stretch and mobility, whatever you want to call it, it just shows how bad the industry is. The fact that something like that is looked at in a bad light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if there's not a whole lot of context to what he's doing, which I'd imagine there is, until you talk to him or his coach, you would never know. But someone standing there moving, getting their whole body going along, going through positions, loading their hips, etc. I don't understand how people can see that as a bad thing, but they see Miguel doing his dancing and doing his wobbly knees stuff, and they just see that and be like, yeah, that's cool. That'll get you warm for golf. Everybody think that's cool, but they don't see this guy. They don't understand the fundamentals of mechanics and how it works in order to see why it could be good, basically.
Yeah, so what are the benefits to what he's doing then?
In terms of what he's doing there, so he's got his one leg out in front of him. He had his left leg out in front of him, didn't he? And he's going up. So all he's doing is he's loading his left leg. He's creating a bit of a stretch through his right leg, and he's getting his hold to his abs, his spine, everything just going into extension. It's just simple. It's like one through one motion. So the planes of motion stuff that I did with you guys, where we were going lunges, different positions, he's just in one plane of motion, getting himself mobile, and then he does another one, doesn't he, where he stood rotating, but with one leg behind him, and then just the left.
With his golf club.
Yeah, and all he's doing is putting his... So it's not even really tricky stuff. It's just pretty basic warm-up stuff to get him swinging the club a bit better, get him moving freely. So by putting his foot back, he's going to be creating more rotation for his hips and a different motion than he would do when he brings his foot forward a little bit. And then he could switch it the other way and go the other way, and he's going to be mobilizing through the other hip more. So it's pretty basic what he's going through, and if he's doing that sort of thing on the range, it might be that in his own like gym sessions, it could be that he's doing more advanced, like more different motions. He's just trying to keep it a bit simple to get on the range and get into it.
It's mad, isn't it? Remember, you used to see Miguel Angel Jimenez doing them sort of warm-ups where he'd twist both ways with his hips and like step up with both feet off the floor and stuff. But it's amazing that you don't see like more players doing it, really, isn't it?
I seen a video there as well where they were doing Morikawa and comparing it, and it was, they had music on while Morikawa was doing his with this band because it was more in tune to what's modern, and then it was sort of like what Marek was doing was old school, and it was
I think, and they're like the problem, people just, they don't understand it.
Yeah,
like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like bands and all that sort of stuff, it will have its place, and if the person that's giving him that stuff is gonna, it can kind of say this is why, then that's up to them as the coach to give that to their athlete, basically, and say, this is why I think they're doing it. But you've got to be able to move and control your body, essentially. I mean, we can go into it in more depth, and you can use bands as like a way to get stronger or as a distraction to like pull your body into a better position or something, which will absolutely have its place. But in general, like you say, like the fact that what he is doing is normal compared to Brad Marek is just, it sums it up, really, and the people just don't understand.
Yeah,
like that's what we're obviously going to delve into, and like the function and the understanding of like why he might be doing that or similar motions, or why I've got you guys doing some of the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah,
no, definitely. Yeah, and I think during the course of this week, we'll get more videos and more content for on the Instagram, so people can sort of see what we're actually doing, and then we can maybe break a few videos down or talk through our whole routines and why everyone's doing it, and why golfers in general will benefit from like a program of yourself or just three.
Yeah, and like, in general. There's more and more people. Like, I think the problem is with this sort of stuff is unlikely is there a quick fix. It's training. If you come into the gym and you can squat 100 kilograms and your goal is to squat 200, you're not going to get there in 6 months.
No,
like that's a big goal. Just as maybe moving for better at golf is, or dropping your handicap to a certain amount. So it has to be looked at as like, just because it's like some stuff where you're moving around and doing weird stuff, like it's training.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't get. Like just doing a few stretches and like understanding why you're doing these stretches. Like Mark, you said you were tight. Actually, we concluded that it's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
But no, you feel tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's lack of education on my half, isn't it? That's why we bring the professionals like you in to tell.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's relying on the professionals to hopefully do a good job and not just kind of like do token tests on people just to try and say, yeah, you're tight here, you're loose there. It's got to be more specific than that. It's got to be, there's always why. Why are you tight there? What's restricting it? Injuries, etc., all sorts.
Yeah.
I can definitely feel when I don't, if let's say I wake up and I'm in a bit of a rush and a bob out, like, because I do them stretches that you give me every day and every night anyway, just even if I'm not playing golf. So then, but I know, like, the last 2 days I haven't done them, and I've done it this morning, and it was so much harder, so much, like, to even get in the positions I was doing 2 days earlier. It's so it's repetition that you need to be doing, isn't it?
Yeah, and frequency. Like, the more you do it, without obviously doing it too much, but the more you do it over a period of time, it's going to get better and better. And then it's always going to be a case of two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Like that's training. Like that's how it always goes. Your body will naturally do this as well and like bring you back. It's why, like, if you were training at like a, I don't know, like whether it be really heavy or like a really high intensity, you can't just sustain that on a constant curve of going up. Like you've got, because if you don't bring it down yourself, your body will bring you down.
Yeah,
it could be that you get ill, it could be that you get a bit injured. And hence why you guys, we've just been like, this is week 4 of the sessions, the program that we're on, and like, no, this week five now, isn't it? Last week we stepped it up a little bit after 3 weeks. Last week steps it up a little bit. This week will go up a little bit, and then gradually progress to the point where we can start doing a bit more, and like load you a little bit more in terms of like more weightlifting based stuff. Once your movement and understanding of it is got better.
Yeah,
that's it. It's a constant learning curve, isn't it? Constant like growth, and you can't just go in there and start squatting 100 straight away, can you? Because you're just going to do yourself in.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get the odd person that can, but yeah. I mean, they're just lucky.
No, I mean, for us, like the way we're not really doing much weightlifting, much that we're just more movements and like
mobility stuff,
like lunges and like a few shoulder presses, and then
it also like squatting a big weight is cool, deadlifting a big weight is cool, picking it up and chucking over your head is like, that's why people like doing it, but it won't directly improve your golf game.
No,
because if that was the case, I'd be really good at golf because I'm okay at weightlifting. If that was the case, every player on tour would be able to lift more than me or more than anybody else that just goes to the gym regularly. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, and it's just
not a direct comparison. And it's just
one—it's one part of the game now, isn't it? Look at what Bryson's done and the weight he's gained, and then he's lost it. Same with Brooks. Brooks in the gym all the time. Tiger, Rory's the same. But obviously, the reason America's has caught the headlines is because the way that he's doing things is not seen as the cool, straightforward way that you would expect.
Yeah, and all it would have taken is for him to have challenged near the top of the leaderboard and some run, and then suddenly all the stuff he's doing is really good.
Yeah.
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 And then everybody would be like, oh, how can I find a coach that makes me do stuff like this? And then that'll be a new trend, rather than if Brooks had won, all they'd be talking about is, instead of saying, oh, he's really good at golf, they'd be talking about the fact that he can bench press loads.
Yeah.
Which is, all right, yeah, he can bench press quite a bit of weight, especially for a golfer, but essentially it doesn't matter.
No,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, with stuff like this, any publicity is good publicity, isn't it? Because it gives us a chance to educate the people out there on what the right things and wrong things are to be doing in fitness, and that's what the podcast with you is going to go this week is going to be about.
Yeah, and
absolutely. If someone was like, I put on my Instagram story that I saw quite a few people posting, like, oh, I'm going to go and do that. Who wants me to film it? And I'll film myself do that. And they're obviously having a joke and stuff. I saw numerous people do it. And that's why I put out the story. I was like, go on then, go and do it. Like, you're going to feel better doing that than you will do doing the stuff you normally do.
No, definitely.
If him doing that and gets a bit of publicity is going to promote the fact that golfers need to learn to move better in order to give themselves the foundations to build a better golf swing, then great, he's done a great job of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we wanted to bring you in on this, because obviously we're not experts, we're looking at it and we're half thinking, yeah, I wouldn't be doing that on the tee, I'd be doing that in the changing rooms if it was me. But
yeah, and that's straight away.
I'm on the driving range giving it the YMCA and everything, mate. Like, I don't give a fucking bollocks.
Get some weird looks, don't you? But
yeah, the reason I probably wouldn't do it because I might struggle to get back up.
But you do see it, but then you see other people, you'll be in the driving range, like you might be like doing, like, I don't know, the balance, the reach as well, we're doing all this stuff and that sort of thing. But the bloke next to you is telling his missus to keep her head down and keep her eye on the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and all that random crap that you hear every time you're in the driving range. So people don't want to always do it when they're on the first tee, and like, yeah, I get that. But if you can just do a little bit at home or a little bit by the car, and just to have a move back. And also, the more you do it, the less you almost need to get going with it sometimes when you tee off, because you've done all the prep work.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, when I come up to play with you guys on Saturday, I'll definitely be doing it because I'd be sat in the car for 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. You need the full stretch. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll all do it.
We'll do it in a line.
We'll do a film.
like the village people.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
I think I do it, like, no joke, every 3 or 4 holes, I'll do a lunge, you know, and a lunge and a twist my arms up, or, you know, stretch out with the club. I'll do it numerous holes.
Look, you can even put, like if I was to talk with your golf coach about it, you can be like, right, man, Kev struggles in this position, and be like, well, that can link in with your mechanics going, well, yeah, of course he struggles to get in that position because his body won't go there. He can't stabilize there. So doing a lunge for a certain position could link into a technical drill.
No, definitely. Yeah.
And like, I mean, obviously that's got to be quite specific to a person. You can't just like randomly chuck out stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's it. You need all like at the end of the day. I know obviously we're not top professionals or nothing, but to be as good as you could possibly be, you need to be working in the gym on the right things. There's no point in like doing things that are going to be counterproductive to golf. That's why we brought you on board. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, training to some level. Like if you don't do anything, like you've never been to a gym before, you've never done much, you play a bit of golf, or you're reasonably good at golf, within reason, just doing exercise is going to be good for you. That's where these coaches come in that maybe don't have the knowledge can get some results straight away, because you could go to any PT, any coach, anywhere, and you'll get better. Just like any golf coach could teach someone who's never played golf ball to hit a ball a bit better.
Yeah.
Because it's just a basic process of you've never done it before. Just by doing it, you're going to get better.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Jordan Spieth. When he was having the struggles, he said he was hitting thousands of balls the wrong way, and then he had to hit thousands of balls the right way to reverse it and get back to playing the way he has, and his results are showing. So just goes back to what you're saying there. You can be taught by a PT to get better, but are you getting better the right way for golf?
Yeah, for golf or whatever else you're trying to build towards.
Yeah,
exactly.
And like responding, and like treating, making sure that everybody's an individual, making sure that they're getting what's right for them in terms of like how their body responds to stuff. It could be that like someone needs to like to do more volume of one thing. Less. I mean, obviously everybody's different, so it's quite hard to like use an example, but like I trained a guy the other day doing snatch stuff, you know, where they go overhead.
Yeah.
And the weight was light, but where he was a tall guy, a bit like you, Kev, in the sense that he's tight, but he's also got, when we gave him range, he gets unstable with it, like when you fell over on the lunge.
Yeah.
And we just had to give him, so the stability came from, with the skill of lifting, some other stuff in between, of just loads of small rep sets. So instead of doing like 5 sets of 3, that might be a token, here's a session for someone that can lift a decent amount, did like 20 sets, but just do a set, rest a little bit, do a set, rest a little bit, and enough to like make sure it was good and technically being able to hit positions, but he couldn't have gone any heavier.
Yeah.
But the weight was light, so he needed loads of volume, and by the end of it, he was better than he was 20 sets ago.
Yeah.
Because his body needed the reps and it needed the volume, whereas someone who is stronger through those positions wouldn't need that reps and volume. They would need probably a heavier weight to develop more strength.
Yeah, I see, yeah. Yeah.
And you're just applying that concept to golf or to weightlifting or to running, even whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's it.
It's brilliant. We'll try and get a date this week for the a full pod, and we'll get a good list of questions. Might even put it out there to the listeners, like any fitness related questions that you've got that Matt can answer. Do you know what I mean? We can go.
Yeah, through, yeah. That'd be good.
Well, looking forward to having a proper chat with you over the whole routine that we're doing, what you're getting us to do, and obviously a bit of backstory on yourself and what you want to get out of what you do, and do a full episode coming soon, definitely. But thanks for taking the time to speak to us now, Matt, anyway, and giving us a bit of insight into that, in the whole Brad Marek situation.
Pleasure, lads.
Yeah. Cheers, bro.
And we'll catch you soon. What's going on with you? Fresh off a 2020 tour.
Felt like a pro today, you know.
Did you play like a pro?
No, in part, yeah. Tee to green, yeah. Just, I need to learn how to chip.
Is that what the problem was?
These two kids off like plus one and plus three. Every time they missed a green, it was a par. Every time I missed a green, it was a bogey.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And then they took a couple of chances. I missed a couple of chances. And they, one had 71, one had 75, and I had 79.
Yeah, it is.
Small margins, man.
Yeah.
I feel a low round is coming for me, though, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, another low one.
It was a good event there out there today.
Boss, yeah. I see, as soon as I pulled up in the car park, I was a bit nervous. And I was actually like taking a drop of me golf for CBD. And I seen Hanson. And I was like, Chris, what's happening? Like, went over, had a little chat with him, and I settled my nerves a bit.
Yeah, good.
I didn't know where to sign in or not, and I didn't know what was going on, man.
Just see you turn up, scratching your
honestly,
head.
Honestly, I was just like, what am I fucking doing here? Left me... because I've got like a pickup truck, haven't I? Left me clubs in the back driving up there because it was dry when I left, and I started lashing it on the motorway.
Club soaked.
I got there, I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? But
you're learning,
it
though.
Was honestly a boss experience, though, you know, proper boss.
How did the CBD help you on the first
tee? You know what? I don't know how I would have done without it. Like, could have been a missed ball.
Were you still nervous?
Yeah, I was nervous. Yeah, very nervous. But I had two solid shots down, and it just trickled into the bunker. Didn't get up and down.
No.
And then the same down the next. And I was like, here we go.
Bogey start.
Yeah, it's just not a good. It's just, I hit one right. A lad said that at the path, I think it sort of plugged, and then looked around, couldn't find it. Didn't
lost
really
ball.
And lost ball, so then I'm four over, didn't take a couple of chances going in. But the two lads I was playing with, I was talking to them, and they were like, oh, what you do? I was like, blah, blah, do a podcast. And they were like, this lad goes, this on the second, he goes, so what you do, just like chat shit for like an hour or something about golf and all that? And I was like, basically, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I've only met you for 5 minutes, and I can imagine you chatting shit for an hour. I was like,
how did that go down?
I looked at him like, and I was like,
that could have been an awesome
like,
one.
I know, and I was like, oh, thanks very much. That was actually a compliment, that. And he like, thank God you took that as a compliment there, because that could have been an awkward 4.5 hours we had ahead of us there.
Say that's a risky one to come straight you know, out, yeah.
Boss, those two lads, they hit it well.
Yeah.
Both of them hit it well. Yeah, one was a member at Worsley.
Yeah.
The other one was from Lancashire.
And what won it?
65, 6 under.
Six under, good yeah. going that. Because we played there on Thursday as a bit of a practice, bit of a wet one, wasn't it?
Well, it was even wetter today.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah. I had 4 plug balls. I mean...
What, the ground buried, was wetter?
Yeah, buried plug balls where, like, you had to, like, hover over it to find it.
Did you, yeah?
Yeah, bad. Yeah. But do you know who the defending champion was?
Go on.
Wilco Nainabar.
Did he play in that?
Yeah, last year, yeah.
Oh, my days.
Sick, that, isn't it?
That is good, that. Yeah, he's playing this week on the European Tour. It's gone off.
I know.
He's been playing a few Challenge Tour events, hasn't he? But
Yeah, I just thought that was a bit of interesting trivia.
It was, yeah. Was that on the 2020, yeah, as well?
Yeah.
Well, it must have been Hanson's got him over then,
I think he's mates with him, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he knows him, so they must have just been looking for something to do. I don't know what month it was or whatever, but... It's something to do, win a little grand and move on, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. Why not? Is that what you get for first place?
I think 9.08 was today.
Good. Very good, yeah.
So,
all right, for a day's work, isn't it?
Does you, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Any golf yourself?
Well, yeah, when after we'd done the pod last Monday, I went and played my match play event. Got beat on a 20th, but I had to get 9 shots. Oof. Actually played all right, to be fair. And then, obviously, we played Worsley Marriott get lashed down, and then we played on Friday, didn't we? Connor.
He's a player, Hardy, isn't he?
Connor and Hardy, yeah, unbelievable. Anyone who's seen the socials will have seen it, but he got the eagle 7, birdied 9, birdied 10, birdied 14, birdied 16.
Joke.
And the rest were pars.
I know.
Obviously, first 6 holes, we got absolutely battered with the rain, didn't we? So,
but I think even he only had 1 bogey or something, you know, or a couple of bogeys.
Did he, yeah?
He got 4 under, wasn't he?
I think so.
Like, and it was a breeze. It's like watching Kinnear go 5 under a couple of weeks ago. Breeze.
It's good to watch them, isn't it?
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it is. We had a good laugh. We played with Conor Winstanley as well.
He was
Richard Mansell's caddy, yeah.
He was a bit all over the place, like, wasn't he? But
he's more like me and you, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back out there as well, talking to Richard Mansell over on the European Tour this week. But no, I didn't play at all the weekend, to be honest. I've been getting my daughter into golf, haven't I?
Oh, sick.
So I took Heidi the range Saturday and Sunday. And every time she's turned up, it just hit the 50 balls with her, just to let her have a bit of fun. She's getting it further every time.
That's
it's unbelievable,
it
you know.
Yeah, every time you, like... It's like Hull said, she picked a club of her too, just like... That's when we get Hardy on the professional route. She can tell us all about how you bullied her into it.
But no, other than that, mate, I haven't really... I played those 3 rounds of golf, got soaked twice and got beat in a match play. So no competition this week, still 6.1.
I played... It was a blue Stableford. It was the second round of the Stableford Champs. I was out of it, really, but I come second round.
Oh, yeah, seen that. Well done, yeah.
But I shot 77 off the blues, which is 5 over, off 0.0, and... come down to plus 0.2.
Yeah, but don't they put the course rating can go
up?
Yeah,
they must do, yeah. Like, it's probably a standard scratch is usually about 77, really.
Right.
In the old days, we didn't know how it worked with this one.
What was the weather like?
It got up, the wind got up, yeah.
Yeah, so I think weather conditions and stroke and
everything goes
probably
into it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why.
Well, that whole, the part, the 13th, which is 240, which was into wind.
Yeah.
Last week, that was downwind this week, so it was only a... rock solid minced 4-iron this week.
Yeah, but even that, even if you were net, I don't know, 2 over, that could be one of your better 8. You might have knocked a net 4 over off.
Ah, that's,
you know what I
mean?
You'll come down because that then replaces your best 8.
Yeah, it's
it is a strange one.
I'm starting to get the hang of it, don't we? I like it.
Yeah,
I think
one, the more rounds you play and the more group group 18 holes that you've got to play with for your best eight, you get more of a true reflection. At the moment, like, I think you're maybe in a probably a better situation than me, but in a similar one, in the sense that we haven't got a whole load of rounds to choose our best eight from.
I have.
Okay then, real maybe.
I don't understand how you haven't, if it dates back to the whole, how did I do?
Well, I've still got rounds in from 2017, that's the problem.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But there wasn't that many in the 17 because I just came back playing 17.
So you haven't got 20 rounds on your thing?
No, I've got 11 or 12.
So?
My best eight is out of me 12.
So you've actually got three off your handicap?
What do you mean?
So if you haven't got 20 rounds, they knock three off you?
Also should be off 9. Isn't that if you haven't got 8? Fact check, maybe.
Fact check, but right, anyway. You're off to fucking 10.
Anyway, enough about us. There's more pressing matters in the PGA Championship. But before we move on to that, just wanted to mention the golf league that you talk about and we talk about each week.
The Premier Golf League.
The Premier Golf League, yeah. We spoke about Rory saying it's money grab last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, Lee Westwood came out this week and said that at his age, at nearly 50, if he was offered the opportunity to play for that kind of money, he'd take it, he would grab it. It's interesting, the mindsets. Rory's saying no, in it for the majors, not the money. And Westwood is saying, well, I'm in it to win tournaments, but if you're going to give me that money at that age, then I'm not going to say no.
Why not, though?
Yeah.
That's what, like, why not?
And it's interesting that...
He does, unless the PGA Tour come out and say, if you go there, then you're not allowed to play in our league, but if you can play all of them, then why not?
Yeah. Well, that would be the case, wouldn't it? They're not going to
tame. I'd play fucking anything.
Yeah, too right you would. You know what I mean? And then it's interesting at the same time, we've just had a 50-year-old win a major. So one saying I'll do because I'm nearly 50 and I'll take the money. The other one saying no because I'm going to win a major. And then we've got a 50-year-old winning a major in Phil Mickelson.
Well, yeah, but even Phil Mickelson, I mean, sorry, even Lee Westwood, he won the Order of Merit last year.
Yeah.
At 48 or whatever.
He's not exactly playing bad, is he?
Exactly. I just think... For Rory, it's not about the money. Fair enough, like he's got enough money. But for anyone that wants to like settle, like the kids sorted, the kids sorted, like why not?
Why not take $10 million?
Just go and get over there, yeah.
Yeah,
play and win.
But that league is only going to work if the superstars go over and play, because they're not going to get the coverage if they don't. So if the superstars don't go, it's going to crash, similar to the football Super League. As soon as a couple of the top teams said no because of the fans, then it ended there and then.
Oh, yeah. No.
So if you don't get them...
It's like a one-day thing, that one.
Yeah. They'd worked on it for years and years for it just to crash in one
great
day.
Great, wasn't it?
The power of the fans, yeah.
I know.
Have you got any golf topic news?
I heard a belter at Formby Hall this week that they're making people pay first and then have an interview.
What, new members?
Yeah. So I was like, what do you mean? What does that even mean? Like, you're going to give them the dough back?
That's a strange one.
Never get anything out of that place.
What's so what?
Oh, just that it baffled me, to be honest. I thought I'd have to mention it. No, not really. No, not much golf news knocking around. It's all Mickelson based.
Oh, what a guy. Notes. Well, we've already mentioned his name a few times, and why not talk about him straight away?
Yeah.
What a guy. What a performance. What a man. What a legend. To do what he's just done at the age of 50 is phenomenal, isn't it?
I know.
Well, let's first talk about the course that he's done it on. Absolutely brutal, weren't it?
Some of the shots were making them look like us. It was like
making them look foolish. Yeah. But I do honestly feel that it was a fair test, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
As difficult as it was, there was still low scores out there, so you could still holes that were gettable, weren't there?
Yeah, it's taking your your birdies on like the downwind holes, wasn't it?
Yeah. Taking advantage of the shorter par fours,
yeah,
or because the par threes were brutal, they were all long ironed into them.
Joke.
And then the par fours, when you had that wind which was coming into you off 17 and 18, they were the brutal days, weren't they?
Yeah.
But the Sunday played a little bit easier because that 17th and 18th was a bit easier, wasn't it? Because the downwind.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to say too much about that because part of me quiz questions that.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's not talk about that. But
no,
talking
I mean, like,
about
yeah, yeah.
Talking about scores in general. Looking at the low scores throughout the week. Day one, as we know, Corey Connors led the field with a 67. There was only 7 players that day that broke par, and then the wind changed on day two.
Yeah,
Louis Oosthuizen, 68, and again 4 players broke 70 on day two, and then only six players broke 70 on day three. And then on Sunday, out of nowhere, Abe Anser, 65, 7 under.
Quality, man.
It was like, where does that come from? Low round of the week. But again, only four players broke 70. So throughout the week, you've only got just over 20 players breaking 70 throughout the whole week when you think of how many rounds of golf were played throughout the field.
I know.
A solid, solid test of golf.
It was. But a few talking points I've got there from the takeaways from the week. Did you see Stuart Sink and his son chatting over on the final round over at... it was into the... Well, it might be on the Saturday, actually. It was into one of the par... When he was playing with Rory. It was into one of the par fives, and it was only a 7-9. They were talking, and they must have been talking for a good 4 minutes. Swapped clubs twice. And they were like, I think this is over the 40 seconds you're allowed this, like the commentator. And it just took me back to what Conor Winstanley said to me when we were playing SNA, that Mansell's not a slow player, but he's one warning away from an 8 grand fine. And if he's getting that on the European Tour where there's hardly no cameras, then how isn't he getting pulled for that?
Look, Catlin.
John Catlin, yeah. Exactly.
He got a penalty.
Exactly.
For slow play. He's just a scapegoat, that.
And he's not slow.
He's not slow at all, no. And then he gets struck with a one-stroke penalty for doing what he's done.
4 minutes they were talking, like a solid 4 minutes. Yeah. And his son discussion. I was like, what?
And you'd think that they'd be on top of that as well, because the whole point of the range finders this week was to speed up play.
Well, that's another thing, talking about the range finders. I know they were using them here and there.
Yeah.
Like, I seen Phil and his caddy both had one.
Speed had to go, yeah.
But the main person I seen benefit from it, and he was always going to, was Bryson. Because when he was miles offline, he was in another fairway and he was just zapping and you could get the yardage.
The whereas exact yardage.
He couldn't have done that last week.
Yeah, but that's where it does come to an advantage. You know, it's we spoke about this on Ricey's one, didn't we? About for a caddy who's doing the prep work, it's perfect for them because they'll just zap a load of different things and get targets and get numbers for the book. But when you go offline, you're not going to have an exact number.
No, and... Did you see Stenson snap his wedge?
The calmest, coolest collector.
The Iceman, yeah, he just like sort of pushed on it, didn't he, and snapped it in half. Surely he's got to get a fine for that.
Oh, there's going to be a few fines, and as I say, we will come on to that later.
When did we become the fine police here?
And I know Stenson on the Saturday when he started after the cut, he just made the cut, so he was one of the first off. I remember watching him. And he was just making like bogeys, then doubles, and it was just continuously just missing putts. And you could tell when you're not swinging it well and playing well, that is the worst course to be on.
Oh, definitely.
You do not want to be there.
Just get me out of there.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a few frustrations throughout the day, weren't there?
No, definitely. Yeah,
and throughout the week, really.
I noticed Westwood changed his grip as well. He had the claw going.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, he did.
Is that just this week?
I didn't see it. I haven't seen him actually play for a while.
Where did he finish, Westwood? I know he made the cuts,
I'm
but
not too sure, you know.
Don't know where he finished in total, but I didn't really see him up around the leaderboard, but I know he made the cuts.
No, I've just seen him on the putting green, and they were making a bit of a talk about it, so I thought to bring it up.
Yeah.
It's interesting a few players going that way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, did you see Phil Mickelson change this to the claw grip on, was it 16 or 17? On the final round.
Did he?
Yeah, he just changed his putting grip for one or two holes.
Well, he had a few changes this week, actually, because he had an 11.5 degree TaylorMade original one mini driver that he used as a two-wood.
I heard them talking about this two-wood, yeah?
Yeah, and then it caved in during the third round.
Why? How did that happen?
He just said he hit a couple of squiddly shots on 12 and 13, and the face on my two-wood flattened. So he had a backup head, so he swapped it out for the Sunday, but the face just caved in on that. And then, just before the final round on Sunday, the face of his 2-iron snapped.
Now, when you hit it as hard as he is now.
That's what he said, didn't
was
he?
Was it?
Yeah, he was like, when you hit it as hard as I am, you're obviously going to break clubs, aren't you? But as he went to put his club in the bag, his ex-forged UT 2-iron, his brother noticed it. And was like, that's cracked. And then he had to swap it out for a different 2-iron that he had with him. Oh, no, so he had to swap it out for a forward.
Right, so he went the last bloody hell. And he's changing his grip and all that, but it didn't stop him, did it?
No, but another thing as well, he also had a 5.5 degree driver in this week.
No way.
It's another best like Bryson style, isn't it?
No wonder he's knocking a 360 plus.
366, he's knocking past Brooks.
Brooks hit an absolute monster down that hole as well.
I know.
But let's talk about that final day then. Brooks and Mickelson going at it to start with, because it was a crazy first seven holes, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was crazy just before on the range. Did you notice Phil? He had the GC quad and the Trackman. He had two.
Did he have them both?
I was thinking, like, he's gone like very Brysonish.
He has, yeah. You know, he's getting very technical with it, with his algorithms and stuff, isn't he?
It's mad, isn't
he? He's loving all the numbers at the minute. Like,
what's his algorithm? Calf activation equals drop bombs,
something like that. And what's the other one he calls it?
The flex thing?
No, he's got a name for something. It's like, and he took the piss out of Phil, out of Tiger Woods's stinger. It's like it goes lower and faster. Than a stinger. Have you not got
it?
Can't think for the life of me what it's called. But yeah, talking about that Sunday, in the first seven holes, there was obviously, we seen the two-shot swing on the first.
Yeah.
Then there was a three-shot swing on the second. Then there was a two-shot swing on the sixth. And then another two-shot swing on the seventh.
I think the main dagger, or two daggers, one dagger was when Brooks missed his three-footer himself.
Yeah.
And the next dagger was when he was in the heart of the green and then Phil held the bunker shot.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the volley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Well, if you look at Brooks' scoring on the par fives up to Sunday, he was 9 under on the par fives of the week. And then he makes double on the second, he makes a bogey on 7 and a bogey on 11. So for that day alone, he's 4 over on the par fives. And that's ultimately killed him. He's then going on to the 12th tee or the 13th tee, he's 4 shots behind. So even if he pars them par fives and they're not difficult holes, he's still level and we've got ourselves a bit of a competition. But he just... It's so many of them loose left shots then, and he just wasn't. He just wasn't able to get himself back into it.
No, he couldn't. He was deflated, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
But did you notice as well when Mickelson's ball went up into the crowd and someone picked it up on one of the
11.
Holes on 11.
11.
And then he was like having a bit of banter with the crowd, like letting off a bit of steam, having a laugh, saying like, "Did I get a club length?" No. And
then
they were laughing, and then like he was talking to Brooks, and like
I was thinking at the time that was controversial. That.
What do you mean?
As in, like, has someone actually picked it up, or are they just saying that because it was in a hole, wasn't it? And somebody said that someone picked it up and put that there and dropped it. A girl or a woman picked it up and dropped that there. And I'm thinking, are they saying that because the team Phil and they want him to get relief from that? Because then he gives himself the worldie of a lie, to be fair.
Ah.
And I thought of that angle.
I didn't think of that, no.
Mm.
I was just thinking more... He makes Brooks wait a good bit, and then he wings it left, and then he's like, I thought it was a bit of a stalling tactic to like.
That's where the left started for Brooks, wasn't it? Because he hit it left into the wasteland, and then there you go. What do you think of the wasteland areas anyway?
Do you know what?
Instead of bunkers, grounds, and your clubs, and
like I always like, you know me with the rules. I honestly just think that you should be able to have a practice swing in a bunker. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I think if anything, you should have to have a practice swing in a bunker because. The amount of bunkers that you go in that are completely different.
Inconsistency in bunkers,
there's not one bunker in on any course around here. Like, S&A, the sand can blow away. Like, Formby Hall, I think they've got sand from different places, all over the world. Like,
most do.
It's a joke. Like, it could be wet, it could be dry, it could be hard underneath, it could be soft. Like, I think if anywhere, you should be practicing swinging in a bunker. It's mental.
But if you can, like, turn your feet in it and get and feel the sand with your feet.
Well, you're not meant to, are you?
No, I don't do that.
I think Dave actually done that, didn't he? And he was like, you dig it in to get the height, but really, he was like, it's testing the sand, but you're not really allowed to test it.
Yeah, you're not officially allowed to test it, but everybody does it.
Yeah.
When you're wiggling your feet, you're checking to see how
it's like they changed the rules for actually touching the sand in the bunker.
Yeah.
If you're just standing there and lean on your club in the bunker, it's not a shot anymore.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So really, you could just... pretend to do that and test the sand.
If you move 6 feet away from your ball in the bunker and you just do a few practice swings to test the sand, I don't see what advantage you're going to get.
No.
Really. If everybody does it, all that means that you're going to see better bunker shots, which means better golf, which means more closer shots, what people want to see. I mean, I don't know about you, but I went nuts when Phil held that bunker shot.
Yeah,
it was unreal.
Yeah. I mean more in the amateur game, though, like me and you. Like, how many times have you just dug into a bunker and it's been rock solid? If
underneath.
It thins out and you hit the lip or you go longer the green, you're just like, I wish I knew that.
Yeah,
and played it differently. But as far as the waste areas go, I think that where the crowd were walking and things, like, it's just so easy to find a footprint.
Yeah, it's a bit unfair, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Because if it's so on easy. Grass, the grass is stood down, so it's an advantage if you go into the crowd because you're not in thick rough, you're in patted down rough. So whereas it's a total opposite. But again, I suppose if you're that far off line and you go into where the crowds are, do you deserve a good lie? I don't know. It's a hazard, isn't it?
I know, but I think they changed it because of Johnson won it. Remember it when he grounded the club?
Yeah, and he got a penalty and lost it, didn't he?
Lost the major. It's a bit like...
Definitely.
But
harsh.
I think watching them actually take practice wings in the bunkers was mad, wasn't it?
It was weird, yeah. I just kept thinking, it's like, because they were doing it so close to the ball as well, I was thinking, oh, that ball's going to move, you know?
I know, I seen Speed. Remember he had about 10 hits at one of them just to try it. I was like, what are you doing?
What a man. But no, look, it's Phil Mickelson appreciation time, really,
no,
isn't it?
No, it is, definitely.
It's been over 30 years since his first PGA Tour victory. And obviously, as we know, it's been well documented, the oldest golfer to win a major championship. Would you go as far to say he's the most respected player on tour when you think of who's come out?
I think he's up there, yeah.
And congratulate them. We know we love Tiger, don't we? Obviously, we're passionate about everything Tiger does.
I think he transcends golf a bit as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you'd ask people, non-golfers, name golfers, I think Phil Mickelson might come out a lot of, not as much as Tiger Woods, obviously, but I think Phil
Mickelson... He's definitely next in line, isn't he?
Because he was up there when Tiger was up there, rivaling, wasn't he?
Yeah. He'd have won a lot more, Phil, if he wasn't in the same era as Tiger.
No, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, you look at that, so...
I thought you were going to say then, it's been 30 years since his first win, and it's been well documented that we had... the owner of Woodbros on the podcast who gave him the club up for his first win.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to plug that episode there.
Jack Nicklaus has come out, hasn't he? Nice video, congratulating him.
I haven't seen it.
Have you not seen it? No.
No.
Tiger's sent out a message off his social media platforms.
Did he?
You've got a host of celebrities coming out and saying things. And then I've seen a picture of Phil Mickelson. He's got a bottle of wine in his hand and saying... So it's sort of fact check this because I don't think it's right word for word, but something like chilling, sending tweets, drinking wine, life is good.
Sick.
But he gets it, doesn't he? He's like, for a 50-year-old, you could put him in a room with a load of 25, 30-year-olds,
oh, yeah,
and he'd fit right in, wouldn't he?
Do you know what I love about Phil Mickelson most, right? Is I remember like seeing this thing where he says that he writes his goals down and then he burns them in a fire pit and then you send them up into like the universe.
Very spiritual.
Very spiritual, yeah. So, like, I do little rituals like that and things. And then, like, he's banging to his meditation as well.
Yeah.
So he's saying he's been meditating. And then another good thing that he said, which I want to try, he said he fasts for 36 hours a week.
Yeah, to reset his body.
I've heard a lot about fasting.
Yeah.
It's meant to be boss for you.
I know, I'm going to try that because my diet and fitness isn't going as well as I'd wanted it to.
Yeah, you were
5 weeks in.
You were off to a flyaway. You know, just,
the story
just
of my life.
We were just talking to Matt just at the beginning of the podcast there. Like he was like, yeah, we're on week 5 now and we're ramping it up. I was thinking, I'm being for 2 weeks. Don't tell him, like.
Sorry, coach.
So that's Matt. Nah, we went twice last week, didn't we?
Yeah, went twice last week. Well,
we
three times
week.
I went on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you went on one, mate, Sunday.
Yeah, right? Sunday, having a right go, yeah.
We'll get back at it. It's all about just small steps, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is, you're right. But
I
no,
just think
what you're saying
his
about
approach
Phil,
and his mindset and the way that he's...
CBD
he's
as well.
He's on the CBD,
yeah.
To say that
all
well.
This is obviously just ways to chill his mind. That every time he was either waiting or about to take his shot, he was taking these deep breaths. It was like visually you could easily see what he was doing, and that's just all part of his meditation.
He's just meditating there, yeah, just breathing into himself, like breathing through it.
Yeah, but you read books about Tiger, and he learnt all this from early stage, controlling his breathing, and all this type of stuff. So Tiger's been on it for years.
Well, because I remember his dad was an army general, and his mum's a Buddhist, from Thailand.
Yeah,
so she's instilled like the meditation and that sort of vibe, and then he's. Obviously, his dad's installed the army, and that's why he's.
We this is what I'm saying. You look at Tiger. Tiger's been ahead of the game for a while doing all this, hasn't he? If you look, Phil's implementing this into his life and into his golfing routine now, and he's turned up at the age of 50 and won a PGA Championship. So can you imagine if he'd have done this years ago? It's the only thing that ever got in Phil's head losing tournaments was his own head.
Yeah,
because he was so wild off the tee. And he knew he was wild off the tee, and it seems as though he used to let that get to him, but there was none of that there because he hit, even on the Saturday when he was playing with Ustazen, and he hit that left one. It would have been right because he hooks, he's left-handed, and he hooks it into the water.
Yeah, but I think that was because of his face of his club, you know.
Oh,
okay. The squiddly one.
The one that, yeah, the one that went into the water. And he took three off the team.
Yeah, and he made a double.
Yeah, he made a double, yeah.
That, I think that's because of his club face.
Ah, okay. Is that what that was? So that's got nothing to do with my... I was trying to justify his mindset there, but it's all to do with his face. Fair enough, we'll forget that one. But no, what a performance. What those scenes. Oh, those scenes down 18.
Oh, when he's coming down. It's like Tigers, wasn't it?
Honestly. We won't compare it to the Masters comeback because no one's ever beaten that Tigers Masters comeback win. But how would you compare what Phil done there yesterday to what Tiger done at the Tour Championships? Tiger's big win back off his injury. Yeah. First win back off his injury.
Well, I think Phil had more to play with, didn't he?
I just mean like in general terms of...
Like the atmosphere.
The atmosphere and getting through the line.
It was up there, wasn't it?
Getting it over the line.
And it was a major Tigers. It was only a limited field, wasn't it? 30-odd players. So
yeah.
I think Phil's is better than that.
I was thinking that.
Phil's isn't better than the Masters, though, is it?
No one's better than the Masters. You'll never beat that Masters moment. No. Tiger Red coming down the stretch at Augusta. Never beat it. But that, for me, beats... Tiger's retain at
no, yeah, definitely beats that
at the Tour Championship.
And he beats it 30 players or something. It's fucking nothing. That.
Actually, that was shite, wasn't it?
Shite. Fucking, he's only won 81 times in my mind.
But scenes were so similar.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The crowds going through the.
How boss is having crowds back?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh my word, unreal. Yeah.
But you know, talking about the crowds and that scene on 18 takes us nicely onto that time again because I've got a great one for me, birdie.
Okay. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie
boogie bust. Do you want my birdie first?
Go on, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so my birdie, staying on the PGA Championship, is mood swings, and how much I love the passion this week.
Oh, yeah. So, you've been missing that, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been missing it, yeah. So we'll start with the crowds, because we've just come off that topic. Koepka all week was a bit impatient. I don't know whether it's because of his injuries, but he seemed a bit moody, didn't he? And then he's coming down 18, and obviously the crowds have got him, and it took him about 5 minutes to appear from the crowd.
I know, yeah.
I was like, where's Brooks? Obviously just got swamped, but he's come out and he said it was cool for Mickelson. Obviously he's happy for him, but it's not cool when you've got a bad knee and nobody gives a shit about it. He said, somebody give Ricky, his caddy, a smack in the face. So his caddy stopped in the middle of the crowds, and then that forced Brooks to stop because he was behind him suddenly. And then someone hit Brooks in the back and smacked his bad knee. So he said, like, his knee was really, really sore, yeah. So he's come out and had a good little moan about that.
He doesn't really moan about things like that as well, Koepka. He usually moans about other people, or like he's got like a direct point, but he never really moans,
but
does he?
He had a bit of a go about that whole situation. He said, obviously, look, if I didn't have a bad knee, then yeah, it would have been very cool, but I have got a bad knee, so it's not cool.
No way.
And then in addition to that, John Ram, obviously at the
Did
beginning.
Did he play this week?
But this is it. He was mood swings at the beginning of the week, wasn't he? Saying they're going to have to bring the tees forward. What's the point in us being here? Remember, he was saying Zach Johnson.
Oh, he took a head cover off
the
every
head
time.
Cover off
yeah,
every time
yeah.
And things. And then he finished bogey for a level par on the Saturday. And he came out and just said that he doesn't even want to be here. He's like, I'm 40th in the field. Why do I want to be here? So I was thinking, like.
Level par? You're only a couple behind?
No, he shot level par for the day.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So he shot bogey to be level par for the day.
Yeah.
But I think that put him to +4 for the tournament.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So
still.
Yeah, I think he shot 5 under last round. You know, and got to finish 1 under. Yeah, he ends up doing all right last round. Yeah, and then two more points. You've obviously mentioned the Henrik Stenson snapping the club over his knee frustrations. We're seeing that, and then I don't know if you've seen Wyndham Clark played a lobbed chip up to the top of the green and it rolled back into a sprinkler. And then he just smashed his bag twice. It's like a delayed reaction.
Do you know what? I've seen the video. He's got a PXG bag. Hasn't he?
PXG
I didn't
bag,
know
yeah.
It was Wyndham Clark. Yeah. I've seen the video. That's boss. That.
Yeah, there's that one.
That's boss.
And then my favourite one.
It gives it a good couple of whacks.
But it was so delayed. It was like, you could tell he was so angry. And then he just waited for the bag to be positioned and he just gave it a good smack. And then final one, which was my favourite of all, was Erik van Rooyen on 17. Did you see it?
No.
He's hit a shot into 17, it hit the green, and it's rolled down the undulation and went into the water so slow. and then he walks past the T block, another PGA Championship T blocks, and just goes smack and just whacks it, and then walks past it and then smacks it the other way, and his caddy has to stop, and it just misses him. Yeah.
Oh my word. No.
Yeah. So just that's me birdie.
Oh, is that what you're saying? There's fines getting handed out everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. They all need fines.
They all getting fined. Yeah. But it's just. Obviously, that course, it's a mental disaster, and it's a disaster waiting to happen, like just causing so many issues. But it was just good to see fans back, the crowds getting rowdy, but then players getting all riled
nasty
up.
Nasty pero!
And that's it.
And that's it.
What's your birdie?
My birdie is when Phil held that bunker shot, he walked off and gave his ball to this disabled lad who was in the thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the face nice on the disabled lad. Oh, see how happy he was?
Yeah.
Like, he was just so happy, man. Like, honestly, nearly made me cry. Like,
lovely birdie. Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. great when you see stuff like that, isn't it?
Boss, yeah. Loved yeah. it.
Brilliant birdie. What about your bogey?
My bogey is the hoo-ha about the rangefinders. Like, just let them use it or don't let them use it. Why bring it back for like one tournament and then
I think just
it?
Keep
like,
it in the bag. Yeah,
what's the crack?
I just keep it in the bag.
Just, yeah,
I just don't know how they're going to control slopes though, because your Patrick Reed you've got a
button that you can clearly see if it's on or off.
I know my Bushnell, you press the button in on the side for the slope.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fact check. Maybe I haven't got the slope.
I don't
on.
Think you've got the slope edition. I think on the slope ones, there's a clear button on the front that you click and you know if it's on slope. So because your playing partners can see if it's on slope or not.
Ah, okay, go on, we'll go with that. Then I'm all for it. I think they should allow them to have it.
Because, like, I had my Arcos on today and nobody could have seen if it was on tournament mode or not.
And was it?
Yeah. Of course it was. It was like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, but no one knew, you didn't have to know. It's just, no one knows if you're preferring your lie in the rough. It's like, it's integrity. Of course not. It's integrity, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just need to identify my ball there.
There's that you called me over today and was like, I'm just going to check if this is plugged, you know? And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's plugged, like I can see it under the ground. Like.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think they should just, yeah, be able to just keep
just
a Bushnell.
Them or don't, or to either ban them.
Yeah.
Or, like what are they doing, some sort of assessment?
Similar to what we've just spoke about with the bunkers, about taking practice, there's no, you've got a caddy who's going to work out all your numbers. So, to double check your numbers are right, a quick press on the button to see how far the bunker is, and then just make sure your numbers are correct.
And I take, while the caddy's doing that, anyway, the player can just zap it, and then they can compare it. It doesn't take any longer.
So. My bogey is Tiger Woods is outside the world's top 100 again.
So was Phil.
I know. But Tiger's now up to 116.
That's going too faster.
It's mad, isn't it? So Phil was 113. Do you know where he's moved up to now?
Probably about fourth.
30 seconds.
Do you know what I mean?
Back in the top 50 comfortably. At 50.
And so I wonder what they're going to do next week about his invite, because he's in now.
The US Open?
Yeah.
Yeah. In a couple of weeks, yeah.
So he's in? Because he won that? So
his invite might go to someone else.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Ricky Fowler again.
I'm about to say fucking Ricky Fowler again, didn't he?
To be fair, he proved us wrong, though.
No, he done well.
He done very well, yeah.
He did do well, yeah.
He done very well indeed, yeah. And then you bust.
My bust is a bit of a bad one for like all the, I know all the fans are going to swarm down to watch me, like, but it's no fans are open qualifying.
Still caddies though.
Yeah, you've got to apply for some sort of permit.
Okay. When do I need to apply for that?
Fucking yesterday.
Sort my out.
Nah, you're in.
Oh yeah, so I'll have to get that done.
Although in a way that should be my birdie as well, because I couldn't be bothered with anyone coming down watching me shop it around that place, you know.
You get some gathering as well, I think. Hello. Local, definitely.
That's the problem.
My bust is, we've had Matt on there from 3D Golf Strong, but it's just my fitness. I'm giving all the help I can be given, and I'm still just not doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I just cannot, at the moment, I can't get a routine. So it's all right me putting weight on and blaming COVID and saying the gyms are closed, but the gyms are clearly open now. I've clearly been given a fitness regime to stick to and know what's right and what's wrong to eat, and I'm still not doing it. So that's me bush for this week. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, that's, well, we'll get that. We'll get back. We'll get in the gym in the morning.
Yeah.
And we'll sort that out.
We will.
Right, let's do a little quiz then.
Okay.
So, It's all PGA Phil Mickelson sort of based.
Okay, yeah.
So you're not getting a multiple choice for this one because I'm pretty sure you might know this. But how many times has Phil come second in the US Open?
8.
Ooh, 6. I thought you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Right. What year did the PGA stop being a match play event? Do you want a multiple choice?
Yeah, because it was 40s or 50s.
1948, 1958, 1968 or 1978?
1948.
Oh, 1958.
Fucking hell.
You're having a mare, yeah. What year did Phil turn pro?
So 1990. Go on, give us multiple choice.
1990, 1991, 1992, or 1993. 1992. 2. Go on. So holes 1 to 4 and 14 to 18 for the first three rounds were 1,079 over par.
What?
Yeah.
Sick.
And for the last round, do you know what they were?
14 to 18.
And 1 to 4.
Multiple choice, please.
Minus 40, minus 45, minus 47, or minus 50?
Minus 47?
Yeah. It's a big switch around that, isn't it?
Oh, but the wind changed
direction.
No, it was
the wind, yeah.
16 was playing down breeze, so that was a driver 6-iron, driver 7-iron for most of
driver
them.
Driver 9 for Bryson, wasn't it?
Was a driver 9 for Bryson, because I know Phil hit 6-iron into it.
Yeah.
And Brooks hit 7. And then 17 was 220 downwind. So I think Phil hit 6-iron.
Yeah, I know.
And then 18, I was looking at Bryson's, and Bryson had 116.
Yeah, exactly.
Smoked a drive down the middle of 116. So yeah, I can see why. But it does show you that those type of... we have it at our links every week, do you know what I mean? If you've got a certain wind, the golf course is so much easier.
Well, certain holes there. So then holes 5 to 13 was minus 22 for the first three rounds. And then on the Sunday, do you know what they were?
Because the wind had changed.
Yeah.
Plus 12.
Plus 23.
See?
Mad at it. How like a win. Obviously, that 22 is divided by three rounds, or the 1,079 is divided by three. But still, big difference.
Yeah,
it?
Massive,
you know,
difference,
I mean, for
yeah.
one day. So.
And I suppose that you can see why we had the lowest rounds of the week. On
yeah,
the Sunday.
Exactly, yeah.
We had the 65.
So I just thought we'd get that in there about that.
Lovely.
And one more little thing on the PGA Tour, right, what I forgot to mention. When John Daly won the PGA Tour, I was watching the PGA Championship, I was watching a few reruns, he was 9th reserve on the for getting in.
Was he?
Yeah. And he had no practice round, turned up and won. Gangster.
John Daly style.
That's
what
I mean, all over, isn't it?
couple of bifters,
yeah,
few cans of bevy, and he's good to go, isn't he?
Well, I've seen him say where he's never injured because, you know, people pull muscles.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't pull fat, so that's why I've never been injured.
Is that why I've never been injured? Right then, let's move the Ryder Cup on a couple of years then, eh? 1981. Is that Walton Heath?
Yeah.
Down south in the UK, obviously the first time Team Europe have been over in Europe. Interestingly about Walton Heath, the golf course, it doesn't do it anymore because they don't have US Open qualifying in the UK, but when it did, this was one of the hosts for the US Open, and it was actually where the New Zealand player Michael Campbell qualified when he went on to win the US Open at Pinehurst. Yeah, so there's quite a bit of history at this gaff.
Why don't they have to qualify here anymore?
What was it that's changed? The US Open qualifying, something. Fact check. Someone told me that it's changed.
I know Matty Baldwin said you've got to be in the world top 500 or something, haven't you?
Matty Baldwin, it was.
Yeah.
So blame him.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me.
Sam Torrance, Canizares, and Bernard Langer, all rookies.
Yeah, they was. Yeah,
all the big names for like that I know from.
Yeah.
From now, do you
from
know what
now
mean?
And now,
who were kicked on.
Ben Crenshaw from the American side.
Yeah, rookie as well.
Yeah, won at Augusta. We had a good conversation with Woodbros again, didn't we, about Ben Crenshaw? He made clubs for him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Probably had a few golf clubs in this Ryder Cup, didn't he, the
I
Woodbros?
Know, sick,
around
actually,
this time, to be fair.
And Jack Nicklaus has made a comeback.
Yeah.
He missed one, didn't he?
Jack Nicklaus came back, yeah. Well, it's interesting about Jack. He almost missed out again. He finished tied seventh in the final scoring point event just to scrape in, and it was a good job he did because he won all four of his matches when he got there, yeah. And Tom Watson came back because, remember, he missed the last one because of the birth of his first child. Yeah. So, I mean, amazing American team, and you can see why they romped it home. Larry Nelson, Tom Kite, Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Ben Crenshaw, the list goes on. 18.5 to 9.5, they won.
Joke of a whooping there, isn't it?
I know. There was a bit of controversy. You'll notice a couple of names from the European team that weren't involved, and one of them, Seve Ballesteros.
I know, what happened there?
Well, he never qualified through the European points list because he was going through a row with the European Tour's player division over money.
Right.
So the whole purpose of the argument was that the European Tour paid appearance fees to American superstars, the likes of Arnold Palmer and Lee Trevino, to come over and play on the European Tour.
Oh, yeah.
And Seve's discrepancy with it was the fact that he was one of the world's best players at the time. He was a two-time major winner, and he wasn't getting these same fees for playing these same events. It was just a given. So he was like, well, I'm not going to play in them then. So he didn't play in enough events to qualify through the point system.
Right.
So then the top 10 players got picked through the order of merit, and Seve wasn't in that. So there was an opportunity for him to get a captain's pick. It was down to captain John Jacobs, who wanted him in the team. But the biggest controversy was Neil Coles was one of the selectors. Now, Neil Coles was the chairman of the European Tour's players division, who was having the argument with Seve over the whole thing, and he didn't want him in. No, so Seve got left out. And the guy who got the place over him was Mark James. Do you remember from last time when he got a fine, turned up at the airport, and weren't doing a thing? So major controversy. And then the also left out Tony Jacklin for Peter Oosterhuis,
right?
Which was another bit of controversy. But obviously it didn't work out in the Europeans' favour because they lost it, as we mentioned there, 18.5 to 9.5. So another win for Team USA.
I can't wait to review one where we win, you know.
It is coming soon. There's one coming very soon.
It does involve
that legend of a man, Seve Ballesteros.
Nice.
But another couple of years have gone by, another Ryder Cup, another American win, but I'm sure there'll be plenty more to review for Team Europe in the coming years, and we'll move on to them, definitely. God. Yeah. But we've got some events now, more than just the PGA Championship and a major to review. European Tours back. Shall we start with the Made in Himmerland over in Denmark?
Yeah. Brent Wiesberger is the defending champion in 2019. The prize fund, it's like you said about the British Masters, $3 million.
And what is it this week?
1.5.
What's going on? It's all getting cut in half.
Fact check that 1.5. Because I know the women's is 1.5, and I know last week the Belfry was 1.5, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm just guessing that, but it's...
Could be three.
Could be three.
Could
million.
Still be 3 million.
Nah, I doubt it. I think it's... I reckon 1.5 wouldn't be far off, you know?
Yeah.
Halved. Do you know what I mean? I don't like...
Yeah. And you can see why the incentive is to go over to America and play.
Exactly.
You can see why there is.
Playing for $8 million every week.
I mean, to be fair though, there is a good turnout for this one. You've got a couple that have returned back from the PGA Championship to play over in Denmark. Aaron Rye, he had a bit of a smelly one at the PGA Champs, but he's
one of my picks.
He was one of your picks, yeah. I think he shot about 15 over or something. Wiesberger defending his crown, even though it wasn't on last year. Bobby McIntyre's playing.
Big Bobby Mac,
yeah. Andy Sullivan, I seen a post. He's trying out some of the new ping irons. Look amazing.
Yeah. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, look really good.
A couple of podcast guests playing this week.
Yeah.
Tom Gandy, Richie Mansell.
Yeah, both in the field, yeah.
Future podcast guest, Lee Slattery's playing.
Yeah, oh, hopefully.
We need to collar him, actually.
We do. Hopefully, Gandy gets some inspiration from my bunker play.
Oh, that was funny, that was great, that, you know.
Just to put that into context, when we were playing, Connor was on the phone to to Tom on the FaceTime just as I was about to play a bunker shot and played it live in front of Tom. And let's just say I did get up and down, actually, didn't I?
But yeah, you did.
I had to hole a 40-footer, was it?
Yeah, it's a joke there. More to the point, like, why was he on the FaceTime to him on the 9th hole of the golf course? Like, it was just weird, wasn't it?
It was just to see if he wanted to come for a beer, wasn't it, afterwards?
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a par 71, 6,751 yards this week.
Yeah, it's not a monster in yardage, no. But weather's going to play a factor.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold, and I've had a look Thursday and Friday, there's going to be rain.
Yeah.
Forecast, so it's going to be difficult from that aspect, but I think we can predict a low one, definitely double figures. And it's a good one to get your hands on as well. This tournament's been on the European Tour since 2014, and past winners include Matt Wallace and Thomas Peters as well, lads who are now... obviously trying it out on the PGA Tour.
Yeah,
so it'll stand you in good stead. And Richard Bland.
Off his fresh off his win.
The Arl Man's back, yeah.
The Arl Man.
We should start calling these 40 to 50 year olds the elitists now, can't we?
Yeah, how many we've had winners this year.
Honestly, yeah. Like, Sink Man Laird, the list goes
Sergio.
On. It's ridiculous, yeah. The list goes on. Seems to be getting better with age, maturing nicely. Yeah.
I look forward to watching that, actually. I'm going to keep a good close eye on that one.
Yeah, definitely. Week. Yeah, I've got like six.
What I want to get out of.
Pretty fucking.
What happened just there? What happened there is to see how they play in the rain. Because I know how I play in the rain. I'm a bit erratic and a bit rushed and a bit like.
It's difficult.
All over the place. I know they've got. Oh, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It's different. But yeah, I know it's difficult, but there's a ways to do it about you. Like, you can pick up a few tips by watching them.
Do what Connor done and use the two riders. Or weather, what are they called? The
Mack wets.
There you go. Get the Mack wets out and that'll be your answer.
I know.
No, but you're right, I'm looking forward to watching it too. Like keeping an eye on the European Tour and seeing how the lads get on. So we'll be definitely keeping an eye on Gandy and Mansell.
Definitely.
Rich isn't far away, is he? Do you know what I mean? He's been up there a couple of times.
No,
so
definitely, yeah.
Off the tee, absolutely bombing it. It's a mile and gets it in play. So hopefully this yardage will suit him.
No, hopefully, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we keep an eye on the lads and we also like to keep an eye on the girls as well. Last week we had the Pure Silk won by Wei Ling Hu. Or HSU, I would just pronounce that.
Whoo!
Whoo! two-shot victory, minus 13 from that Juntanang.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Not the one that won the week, the sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can't say her first name.
Yeah, so the sisters are doing well, aren't they? Because the chords are the same, yeah.
After fact check if they're even sisters, to be honest.
Are they not? Well, I've just on. Took your word.
There can't be two Juntanangs, surely to God. But yeah, that was just a quick review of last week. And then this week, we've got a new event.
The Match Play?
Yeah.
The
Bank of Hope LPGA Match Play hosted by Shadow Creek.
Be good to watch that, yeah. Do they normally have Match Play events on the LPGA?
No, I think this is the first time this event ever been held. Oh, I don't know if they have a different Match Play, like a Dell or whatever. I don't know.
You're keeping a close eye on that. So, seen a couple of the players playing at Imbie Parks there, isn't she? And there's a few.
I think there's only 64 in the field. To straight up Match Play, do you know what I mean?
That makes sense, wouldn't it? Yeah, 64.
Like, 32. Usually they have like a little stroke play or whatever before it, but it's just straight up, yeah.
So, what is it? Rank one plays 64 and so on and so forth?
Not
I imagine that.
Sure, you know.
Surely that's how they'll do it, won't it?
But it's Shadow Creek, that's where Phil and Tiger had that match, wasn't
it? In Vegas. They had a tournament there at the end of last year, well, for this season, but it was the end of last year.
I thought that, yeah.
Shadow Creek, yeah, in
when
Vegas.
Phil
yeah.
said, I'm not turning up to win 1 million. Last time I went to 110 or something. Gangster, man.
He is a legend, isn't he?
Par 72, 6,804 yards. And there's two English girls in the field, Bronte Law and Mel Reid.
Yeah, Mel Reid doing very well,
good
yeah.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, definitely.
1.5 million purse.
Nope. Do you know what? The LPGA Tour are turning up, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Week in, week out. It's good entertaining stuff to watch as well.
I'll
definitely be keeping an eye on the Match Play, yeah. In between watching the Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
A lot of history here. We're talking about Phil. There's two instances here with Phil. Going back to 2001. I don't know if you remember, but when he blew away a 5-shot lead to Sergio Garcia when Sergio won his first ever PGA Tour event.
No.
Yeah, Sergio... arrived on the scene in 99, didn't he? Remember with that amazing shot out the woods, and we all thought he was going to be the next big thing, but then he sort of settled down, and then this was obviously his arrival, and it was Phil Mickelson. obviously wasn't on the CBD. Obviously wasn't on the CBD and the meditation back then.
Exactly, yeah.
This is another one of those events where if maybe he was in that frame of mind, he could have seen that one over the line. And then 2 years later, in 2003, do you remember Annika Sørenstam got a start on the men's PGA Tour?
Yeah.
It was at this event.
Was it? Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So obviously she was the first woman in 58 years to play on the PGA Tour in its history, but then she went on to miss the cut by a couple of shots.
Man, that was a killer.
Yeah, and then the other one I was talking about mentioning, Phil Mickelson, pulling off one of the best shots in history to win it back in 2008. He was tied for the lead with two other players on the 18th hole, and he wings one into the deep rough as 140 yards in. I don't know if you remember it, but he hits this wedge shot through one tree and then over another tree.
Puts
it to 9 foot.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that? Yeah. Puts it to 9 foot to win the tournament. Yeah. So there's always a good bit of history in this one, because since this event has been going now, this is the 72nd time, and each one has been played at the Colonial Country Club.
And now only Augusta on the PGA like rosters held more events in a row
than this one. Yeah. Full of history. I love this event. 7,209 yards, par 70. So it's not a birdie fest as such, but you will get low scores normally between 15 and 18.
Pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah, 15 to 18 under. But you think they just played a 7-8 there, haven't they? So this will be a breath of fresh air for them, won't it? when they come on, defending champ Patrick Berger, who beat Colin Morikawa. This was the first tournament back.
You've done it again.
What?
Patrick Berger.
I've written Patrick Berger as well. Look at that. Patrick Berger.
That's great, that, you know. Daniel Berger.
Is that his name?
Patrick Berger played for Liverpool.
Oh, God, I can't believe I'm even mentioning him as well. Copyright. Patrick Berger, I've wrote that as well. That's brilliant. Daniel Baker. When you said you'd done it again, I was thinking, we've already done the birdie, surely I haven't robbed your birdie. Daniel Baker, Patrick's brother, beat Colin Morikawa in the playoff. This was the first tournament back off the
after the layoff.
Yeah. So
Another notable in the field is, do you remember Michael Visacki?
He had the phone call. Yeah, he got
qualified saying, I've did it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that video totted us up over 1.5 million views on Twitter, and it caught the eye of Charles Schwab himself, who extended Visacki an invitation to the tournament.
Wow. Uh-huh. So he's in the field this week?
Yeah, he's in the field, yeah.
Good lad.
So shows you like a little bit of social media and things like that. You can get your places.
Well, we've got the player initiation programme now. You've seen them all busy as hell on the Twitter, aren't they? All the appreciation tweets for Justin Thomas has been busy on it, you know.
Has he, yeah?
I don't know if you've seen him on the Twitter. Yeah, he's constantly on it all the time, yeah.
No, I have to get more into Twitter, you know.
Interesting to see if Rory gets on it.
On the
Twitter, because he's against money grabbing, isn't he? So
he'll be rad on that.
Definitely, yeah. So yeah, Vizaki's playing good stuff. There's
good few players that have played this week as well, like Ustase and Mickelson. But obviously you said Mickelson there, but Ustase and playing as well. So like, fresh off it.
Yeah. Well, Spieth's there, Morikawa, JT, Patrick Reed.
Be good if Spieth's done well in Texas, like notoriously, hasn't he? Because that's where he's from, isn't he?
Well, yeah, well, he done well in the, was it the Dell match play? Did he do well there?
He done well at the Valero as well.
The Valero Texas Open, yeah. So, yeah, definitely one to watch. As I say, Jordan Spieth's flying at the minute, isn't he? So, Ryder Cup contender.
Hey, who's a Ryder Cup contender, by the way? Padraig Harrington.
Oh, he said he won't pick himself, didn't he?
He's like, who wants to come and play? Do you know what I mean?
Hey, Shane Lowry wasn't stupid giving him mugs and high fives all the way around. Just in case, captain. Just in case I don't get in, captain, yeah. I'll take a pick.
Phil being a Ryder Cup contender?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You've got to consider him now.
Like, he's won. He's not just won now, he's won on the Champions Tour as well.
Yeah, so won two on the Champions Tour, like, back to back.
He's not messing about, is he?
Not messing about, no. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on this week, because I imagine he's going to have a bit of a blowout, isn't he?
This now, you mean?
Yeah. Is he going to fast this week?
I'd say he would, yeah.
Routine, you can just forget it just because you won a tournament, do you?
I don't know, your things do go to the end of the
week. Well, for me and you, they do, yeah. As soon as we hit a goal, that's it.
Is it?
Looking forward to
it. Who are you fancying then?
Well, just before I go on to who I'm fancying, we do our picks, I just want to mention and just say good luck to the lads on the Euro Pro. It starts on Wednesday, the IFX Championship. So just good luck to the lads who've been on the podcast. Sean Towndrow, Tim Ford, Wayne Feeney, and Tom Higson. You can hear all their journeys on the podcast if you just search for them on our show. And they're all starting their Euro Pro seasons as of Wednesday. So this is a three-day event that's hosted at the Harleyford Golf Club. First prize for each event this season is $12,500.
Oh, geez, nice.
And then there's going to be 25,000 first prize at the Tour Championships at the end. And then you've got Monday qualifiers for the first time. Because it was such a packed field, because it's the first one, there was no Monday qualifier for this event. But as of the next one, I'm moving forward, there's going to be, as we've spoke about in the past, there's Monday qualifiers for the Euro Pro event. And then the Sick. Top five at the end of this season in the order of merit will get a card for the Challenge Tour for next Boss. Season. So just want to keep an eye out the Euro Pro stand. Yeah, it's
good luck to the boys there.
One of the bigger mini tours.
I don't think Hayden's playing this one, but he is playing Euro Pro this year.
Yeah.
So good luck to
Hayden
as well.
Kinnear as well.
Yeah.
I think they missed the cut in qualifying, didn't they, both of them? Yeah. So they're gonna get some starts, but just not getting a start in the first one. But yeah, just a good luck to the lads, yeah. But on to your picks then. Who have you got first?
I've gone for Abraham Anser.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah.
That's so mad that I've gone for Abraham Anser.
Have you, yeah?
Just off of 65.
That's literally, yeah.
Fresh off a low score on Sunday. So he's got to be
Imagine
feeling good.
The exact same picks.
I hope we haven't, you know. Brendan Grace, pot two.
I know. Harry Higgs,
yeah. What a legend. Bogey free on Sunday.
I'm basically just going on Sunday, really.
I can't go on Sunday because Brendan Grace had a bit of a stinker. But he did play well last week. Obviously swinging it well.
No, yeah, definitely.
You have to swing it well around there. Pot three. I've gone Wyndham Clark.
I've gone Richie Renske, mate.
Yeah, Richie Renske's been playing well, although he had a bad one last week.
Yeah.
Wyndham Clark just got major respect for me. I'm smashing fuck out of
his
golf
bag. Back.
That's the only reason I've
picked exactly it. Illicit form, does it? I mean,
no, and then obviously the legend himself, Hudson Swafford, gets me picked for pot four.
Oh, I've gone for Streb, me.
Streb?
Streb.
Instead of Hud?
Yeah.
Hud doesn't make cuts.
No.
I know, but no, that's my picture this week, yeah. Plenty of golf to look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
I am, yeah. We've got European Tour, LPGA Match Play, and keeping an eye on the Euro Pro. And then we've obviously got the Charles Schwab, which is always a great event.
Yeah, definitely, man.
So all that's left to say then is we hope everybody enjoyed this show, enjoys the golf.
And hopefully the weather gets a bit better for everyone so we can actually get out there and have our umbrellas.
I know, definitely, yeah. We've got we've got Matt, who we've spoke to on this podcast. He's coming down on Saturday for the game, isn't he? So be interesting. We're going to get some on-course content about a bit of the fitness and stuff in golf, so keep a look out for that on our Instagram stories and our other social media platforms. You'll
definitely
be able to get a bit of insight into the golf fitness, and then we're going to do a full podcast.
Yeah.
With him. Yeah, that's it then. Unless there's anything else from you, Kevin.
No, just happy golfing, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy golfing.
So unless there's anything from you, Kevin, that's a wrap, I think, from another week. Enjoyed it, as always.
No, that's it, brother, that is it.
PJ Championship, amazing, as always.
I just need to go and work on my chipping and putting, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's me for the week, I think.
Well, until next time, we'll catch up very soon.
Ciao.
So, cold topped it.
Okay. Better get up. Yeah.
Eight iron. Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.